Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of Liberty State and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being a man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action, and about the difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious. In a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit, end quote. It's interesting how in the kingdom of God, if you look at it, you will always find outside the kingdom counterfeits. And there's a principle here that's really important, that you don't have a counterfeit unless there's a real dollar bill. I'm going to say that again. You don't have a counterfeit unless there is a real dollar bill. And right now, what we're seeing in America is a counterfeit. It is evil. Evil that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. So we know that's not from God. And there's Christians out there, unfortunately, who are playing into Satan's narrative. They're playing into the narrative that, oh, it's okay if they kill, steal, and destroy, and they make up whatever excuse on top of it there is. Okay. That's not biblical. That is sin. And worst of all, it is the narrative of the evil one. And quite literally, we're seeing people start to play into it. And again, this goes back to something I talked about at the beginning of the year. This is a valley of decision year. There is no more middle ground, no sitting on the fence. The fence is being removed. You gotta choose. James 1:25 says this, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. And actually, the word means a doer who acts. This man will be blessed in what he does. In other words, if we're acting on the part of the kingdom and we're looking intently on the perfect law of liberty, we will be blessed. Now, a couple things. First of all, definition here. Freedom and liberty are being thrown around quite a bit. I want to define the terms. Freedom is the ability to do whatever you want to do. Liberty is the ability to do what God wants you to do in the way he wants you to do it. And the fact of the matter is, today, there is this muddying of the water of what it means to actually love. Obedience to God is love. 2 John 1:6, if you want to go take a look at it. Obedience to God is love. So, it doesn't matter if it's an emperor or a governor or a sheriff, doesn't matter. If they're doing something that is against, clearly against, what God is commanding. By the way, God commands not to kill, not to steal, and not to destroy through covenant, covetousness, etc. Okay, so it's not love. It cannot be love to obey a man rather than obey God. If God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, which he does in the New Testament, and you forsake the assembling of yourselves together, that's not obeying God. That is not love by definition. So if churches really want to love, they should be obedient to God. Obedient in every way. And here's the key. If we're obedient to God, there is safety in that because we're doing what God's called us to do, and nothing will be able to move that. Doesn't matter if they throw international newspapers at you and news stories smearing your reputation. It doesn't matter if they try to harm you. It doesn't matter if they try to take your job. It doesn't matter if they try to take your bank account. There is safety in being obedient to God because he's providing for what he wants to accomplish. Second idea. When we are obedient, we are warring in the heavenlies. So that means spiritual warfare is a real deal because he's calling us to do this. It's not something we think about as an afterthought. It's something we're doing every day. Are we coming against the evil one every day? Now, Luke 10:19 says we have authority over all the power of the evil one. That's what it says. And in fact, if you think about the four judgments in Scripture, and most people think about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, now there always is deception in these times, but I'm talking about judgment. Famine, pestilence or disease, and war. And then in other areas of Scripture, it's the increase of wild animals. Now, we have wolves running rampant through our land. We have disease upon our land. There's war, and oh, by the way, some are saying there is going to be a famine or a food shortage. So if that doesn't wake the church up and get your attention, and on top of that, we could see the deception in the media right now. So if we're being obedient to God, we're warring against that. Luke 10:19 says we have authority over all the power of the evil one, but right before that, it says to tread upon, so we're supposed to be doing the treading. We're supposed to tread upon snakes or lies and deceit, scorpions, which is a spirit of death, which is embodied in what I just talked about with war, famine, disease, wild animals running unchecked in the land. It's a spirit of death. And so we're supposed to be treading on that every single day. Treading on it, saying the prayer, Lord, I stand on the promise of Luke 10:19. And all these demonic forces out there, I'm treading upon you right now. I'm putting you under the feet of Jesus Christ and under our feet, because as we know from Ephesians 2, that we abide in Christ, Christ abides in us. So whatever's under his feet is going to be under our feet. We're supposed to be doing the treading. Third idea. We need to be obedient, and when we are, Jesus will co-labor with us. In other words, we will be doing the things he has called us to do, but he's going to be doing it there, right there with us, right next to us, doing it. He's going to be co-laboring with us. And then lastly, when we're obedient, the Spirit is flowing. Because God's helper, the Holy Spirit, is our helper too. And oh, by the way, a helper only helps, hear this intently, a helper only helps if you're doing something. This is actually a message to married couples too. You know, a helper only helps if you're doing something. So be doing something. A lot of people are focused right now on the evil ravaging the land. And these Marxists are bent on evil. There's no question about it. They always do this. They release prisoners right before they start doing civil unrest. And sure enough, right on time, they start doing civil unrest. And oh, by the way, it's very coordinated. And I'm going to get to some of this stuff here in a second. But instead of focusing on that part of it, it's evil is reacting to what God is already doing. He is already moving in this country. I want to say this again. Evil is reacting to what God is already doing. So it's not like God woke up this morning and is like, wow, evil's at it again. Better do something about that. That's not how it works. Evil is reacting to what God is already doing. That means God is on the move. Something really powerful. Something the Lord wants us to receive. Are we ready to accept it? We need to change our mindsets on this stuff. Church is supposed to exist to help us fulfill our purpose in the kingdom, in God's kingdom. And as I've talked about before, when it says in Scripture that the kingdom of God is inside us, and it also is translated in our midst, it's an adverb that's saying it's acting inside us and acting among us. It's an amazing revelation. Just a Greek adverb and knowing that that's what it is changes the whole idea in that passage. His kingdom isn't something that's just static and standing there as like a monument or something like that. It's active inside us and active among us. And so God wants warriors in his kingdom. And our mindset will determine not only our walk with God, it will determine our destiny. And so as we see these things happening in America, be encouraged. Ask the question in your prayer time, Lord, what do you want me to do in this time? Where do you want me? What do you want me to learn in this time? Lord, help me to see things through your eyes. Now, notice what I said, too, that this is about his kingdom, not about success. Okay, now this is a huge pitfall for a lot of so-called Christian moderate, quote-unquote, Republicans. This is a huge pitfall because they see things in the sense of success instead of in the sense of fulfilling the purpose God has for us in his kingdom. Because if we start looking at things through a lens of success, we will begin to compromise. Because it's through a lens of man. We will begin to compromise on things that we should never compromise on. Christians should only kneel before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not chaotic, uneducated, prevaricating protesters. We should only kneel before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You will also see compromise on moral issues. We just saw that here in downtown Spokane with this proclamation that was put out by the mayor in downtown Spokane. An immoral proclamation by every Christian standard. We see these things because people have their eyes on success instead of on what is the purpose he has for me in the kingdom. That's why you see folks across the country, they're compromising with the Marxist protesters that are burning things to the ground. Could you imagine if patriots went into a city and did something like that? My goodness gracious. And see, this is the point. This is what the devil does. He will accuse you of what he's actually doing. He has since the beginning. So when they, last year, were attacking patriots, we knew, many of us, that something was coming and we needed to redouble our efforts in briefing people about what is behind all of this. Because it was a clear indicator that they were trying to project onto us what they were themselves. And just an example, okay, 1,000 patriots standing on the streets of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Nothing gets looted, nothing gets broken, nobody gets hurt, and they're armed to the teeth, okay? Now, these are the same Patriots that they tried to attack last year, they being the mainstream media, by saying that, you know, if you arm them, they're going to do something crazy. And here you've got Patriots who just want to defend their homes. And they want to defend their homes because God has actually commanded us to defend life. God has commanded us to defend property from thieves. And it worked. Antifa tucked tail and ran. But there's more that's happening. I'm going to get you here in a second, but I want to end with this. There is no more sitting on the sidelines. There is no more complaining. There is no more begging. If you're listening to this radio show and you're a committed Christian, you need to be in the fight. Spiritual warfare every day. And if necessary, standing in front of your home or your business, totally peacefully, but defending the line. And that's what Christians have done quite literally for centuries. And I know there's some people will try to do revisionist history and say, no, it's actually been pacifism. It hasn't. It just hasn't. And particularly markedly from 732 on with the Battle of Tours, France. And you can read about it in The Sword and the Scimitar, and then we can have an intelligent conversation. And that's the briefing. Remember the, well, actually, you know what? I'm going to add some more to the briefing. I'm going to add some more to it. Okay, I hope you guys are ready. I've got a little bit of time. I'm going to do it. All right. Okay, first of all, and this is important, we're seeing in Europe now some of these radical Marxists are beginning to pour gasoline on police and try to light them on fire. There's a couple of videos that are out there right now. So it would be very important, I think, for everybody that is out there listening to this radio show to understand that these tactics, techniques, and procedures are coming, that's a military term, TTPs, are coming from a specific source. And then I want to give you a couple solutions here. I want to first say that, you know, if people are trying to light other people on fire, you know, it would be good to have some portable fire extinguishers with you in these times right now, because this is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Okay, number two. Marxists always attack police. They did it in Iraq. They tried to make them empty the police station, and then they would drive into that area and they would try to take it over. And so I'm going to tell you some things that are happening today that are absolutely incredible. Now, I'll tell you one moment that really kind of caught my eye. I want to step back a little bit. We have to take a wider view. Why are they doing this now? Because Trump is taking steps to neuter China. That's one of the reasons. The second reason is, there are active talks to dismantle these Marxist networks in the United States. And so some of these folks feel like they have no other choice now. So let's talk about what is actually happening out there on the ground. Okay. First of all, Black Lives Matter is a communist organization. Trevor Loudon on the show last week clearly tied them to China. In addition to Freedom Road Socialist Organization and Liberation Road, because they're playing leading roles in coordinating the often violent protests that are now occurring in the United States of America. The three founders of Black Lives Matter, And you can read a lot about this in various articles, and I hope they put it up on Understanding the Threat. But I want to just brief you on this. Three founders of Black Lives Matter: Patrice Cullors, Opal Tometi, and Alicia Garza held or are holding leadership positions inside the Freedom Road Socialist Organization. Okay? Second idea, point. These violent riots are just the beginning. The communist Islamic counterstates are waiting for a flashpoint, another one, yes, to launch even further. Third idea. The communists and jihadis behind these nationwide protests have and are consistently lying about what they're doing. This isn't about justice right now. This is about, as Trevor Loudon was saying, a Marxist attempt at overthrowing the Constitution of the United States. That is treason by definition. And then, next point, you have these useful idiots that are out there, and that's Lenin's term, okay? I'm not calling anybody, that's his term, who are playing into, and unfortunately a lot of establishment Republicans, playing into the narrative of these Marxist organizations. Now, we've been warning about this for years. And so these people are playing into these narratives. They are now becoming enemies of liberty and are now coming out against constitutionally minded patriots. Next idea, and this comes from history. Now, remember that the party in Germany during World War II was the National Socialist Party. So socialist doctrine always follows patterns. They always follow their playbook. Release prisoners. They have brown shirts that run around and create chaos in the streets. But there's always something that happens. Eventually, those brown shirts are taken out by the black shirts. And those are the ones that we need to be paying attention to. So in history, the black shirts became the SS in Germany. They're the ones that took out the brown shirts on something called the Night of the Long Knives. And you can go look this up later and read the history about it. But the fact of the matter, there's a more dangerous element of these Marxists that's waiting in the wings right now. So we are in a time where it's going to take all of us to stand up against what's going on. In addition to that, we're in a time where we have the ability to expose a lot of what these guys are doing. Now, I have talked about on this radio show ad nauseum about Redneck Revolt, John Brown Gun Club, Antifa, and the Socialist Rifle Association. Today, Project Veritas came out with a new video exposing Redneck Revolt. Now, remember, the mainstream media keeps saying that these are loose-knit organizations, and yet Redneck Revolt is claiming to be kind of the militia of Antifa. So they're clearly interconnected. That's number one. It's one of the things you get out of this video, and I posted it up on my Facebook page. But the second thing that everybody should know is, again, Redneck Revolt is the organization that published the mini manual of the urban guerrilla written by a Brazilian communist named Carlos Marighella, who was implicated in the kidnapping of a U.S. ambassador in 1969. Now, that manual and the tactics contained therein are actually being used on the streets of America today. So this is the manual they're using, the tactics they're using. I want to read an excerpt from page 38 of this manual published by Redneck Revolt, written by a Brazilian communist. Here's what it says, quote, "Other street tactics consist in constructing barricades, pulling up paving blocks and hurling them at police, throwing bottles, bricks, paperweights, and other projectiles from the tops of apartment and office buildings at the police," end quote. So they always attack the police. Now, in the video, it exposes Redneck Revolt as wanting a complete elimination of the police. So follow me with this. The violent Marxists in America want a complete elimination of the police. Gee, I wonder why. Because our great men and women in uniform are standing and holding the line against these guys. And the problem is, a lot of the rank and file police have never even been briefed on these threats. Despite attempts by myself and organizations like Understanding the Threat, the New American Magazine, to brief local police officers on this threat, many of them haven't even been briefed on these things. And these organizations have been known by their leadership for quite literally years. Literally years. And they have done nothing to stop the implementation of their chapters in local areas. They've done nothing to bust their training camps, which were also known by law enforcement, at least some. And so there's law enforcement leadership that hasn't told these rank and file guys, we need to get the information into their hands so they understand what they're up against. Because if they read the tactics, then they know how to combat it. So check out this expose by Project Veritas on Redneck Revolt. All right, lastly, June 16th in Post Falls, Idaho, at the Templins Resort on the River in Post Falls, at 7 o'clock on the 16th, Trevor Loudon is going to be here in the area. Trevor Loudon is going to be talking about the communist Chinese, COVID-19, and the riots that are going on right now, and how everything may be connected. So you want to be here for that. Trevor Loudon is arguably the expert on Marxism in America. June 16th, 7 p.m., Templin's Hotel in Post Falls. I posted it up on Facebook if you didn't catch all that. Again, June 16th. Also, June 13th. The Liberate America rally at the Kootenai County Fairgrounds is going to be pretty much all day. I'm going to be speaking in the early afternoon. But love to see you over there at Kootenai County Fairgrounds on the 13th of June, Saturday the 13th. All right. That is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for us. And make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US. Like the page, share it with your friends and family. We are on iTunes and Podbean. And there is a replay of this show across the entire ACN network at 9 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. All right. My guest today, Dr. Michael Rechtenwald. He's an author of Beyond Woke and the Google Archipelago, the Digital Gulag and the Simulation of Freedom. And I want to save a little bit of this, but one of my favorite titles was Springtime for Snowflakes. Dr. Rechtenwald, thank you very much for being on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing, sir?
Great, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to finally get you on. And if you could start with the listeners, what is happening in America? What's behind this? And what can we expect here for the rest of the summer?
Well, what's behind it is a massive indoctrination machinery that's been operating in the universities and in social media and in the mass media for years. But it's really, the seedbed of it has been academia, the university system, and the school system in general, which has been overtaken by leftist ideology and has been indoctrinating students for years. It's now K through PhD, this indoctrination, and it's spread into social media. So social media, as I say in Google Archipelago, is effectively become a propaganda organ for the left because of their censorship, their bias, their differential treatment of conservatives versus leftists, and, you know, if there are any liberals left, liberals, and so forth. So basically what we're seeing is the result of a long campaign, a long march through the institutions, as Marxists refer to it. They have taken the long march through the institutions. They have overtaken them, and we're seeing the results of this in these organizations that are indoctrinating, easily indoctrinating children even into their camps. We see Antifa and the Sunshine Group have kids as young as 13 and 14 years old marching with them and carrying out deliberate acts of violence. So that's the roots of it. And I'm glad to talk about the effects more.
Yeah, absolutely. So today, Andy Ngo published a brief social media post in regards to the fact that Antifa has taken an autonomous zone after the police abandoned the East Precinct in Seattle and literally have set up a border and are calling for armed guards. There is an autonomous zone that has been established in the United States of America by these Marxists. And people are saying, well, how could this possibly have happened? So I'm going to put the question to you. How possibly could this have happened in America?
Well, you have to look at the city officials, the city, the board there of the city council, the mayor, the state, the governor, all of the state officials are effectively cowed and or in agreement with Antifa. I mean, you see Keith Ellison's son and Keith Ellison himself are absolutely Antifa fans. I mean, they're absolutely fellow travelers with Antifa. So it is no surprise that they have ceded this territory in, you know, a cowardly fashion to these tyrants, these totalitarians who think they're anti-fascist, but they're actually fascist. Nothing is closer to a fascist than them. They infringe on other people's rights. They infringe on property rights, but not only that, bodily rights, the right to life, the right to speech. They shut down speech wherever they go. On campuses, they've been doing this for years. So these are tyrants, and they're bullying the city, they're bullying the state, and they're bullying the country. Something has to give. There has to be a significant pushback here. And I'm not talking violence, but this has to stop.
It does have to stop. And this is the culmination of years of indoctrination that have happened in our schools. If you could go into a little bit of that, and also, you know, is this going to be a one-off? Is this going to die down here in the next month or something like that? Or is this going to, you know, continue?
Well, let me answer the second question first. They're going to look for trigger points in order to explode into the same sort of shenanigans again, and it'll intensify because they're emboldened now. They're emboldened that they can go and destroy buildings, burn down buildings, mug and kill innocent people, which have happened all over the country now. They're emboldened by the lack of response in these states run by Democrats all over, in cities run by Democrats. So, no, it's not the end. They're just going to wait for the next trigger event. You know, so inevitably, a black man is going to be assaulted. You know, it's going to be, has to, you know, most of the violence, by the way, against by cops happens against whites. This is well known. They shoot more whites than blacks, even though, you know, the crime rate is, there's a crime differential there in terms of the rate of crime. But no, it's not the end. In fact, they're going to look for the next trigger event, which will explode into another wave. We're not going to get the second wave of the virus. We're going to get a second wave of the riots. As for the other point, I'll just give you anecdotally what happened to me in the university system. You know, I was actually a leftist, Matt, and then I spoke out against the excesses of social justice ideology on campus. I spoke out against trigger warnings, safe spaces, bias reporting hotlines or snitch lines, Stasi state mechanisms to report on people who deviate from the correct party line, the political correct line. And I soon saw in the shutting down of speakers all over campuses around the country, and I soon saw the totalitarianism beneath the veneer of the rhetoric of equality and all that they parade around. And I saw what tyrants they were. They basically made my life a living hell at New York University. I was basically pushed out of the university for nothing but expressing views about the institutional development. And these people are unbelievable. I can tell you they pushed my office out of where I was stationed, which was in global studies. They pushed me into the Russian department, into my own personal gulag, where I was stationed with no support, no books, shunned by 100 faculty members, all for espousing an opinion at variance with theirs. This is the kind of tyranny we're facing.
It is. Michael, my wife is actually from Ukraine. Their family held church services in the woods. My father-in-law's best friend, Lena Tsvetlov, was in the gulag with Alexander Solzhenitsyn. So the title Google Archipelago immediately caught my attention. How are they using social media to make us feel like, hey, we have a voice out there, but we kind of really don't? And and what are the more insidious things that they're doing?
Well, I call it a digital gulag because they're doing some of the same things without corporally punishing or corporally imprisoning people. They're nevertheless carrying out the same mechanisms and actually using the same language as the Soviets did. What they're doing is disappearing people, just like the Soviets did, physically disappeared people into gulags, silencing people, looking for deviant views, and then criminalizing, in effect, those views. Anything that is different from the leftist line gets buried, gets unlisted, gets blacklisted, gets put on a list. The people who espouse these views are eventually thrown off of media, and this includes people running for Congress, people running for Senate. Anybody that voices anything that they don't agree with is shut down. Even President Trump is facing this censorship himself. So we see what they're doing is instituting a party line, much like in the Soviet Union, and the phrase political correctness, for all those who don't know this, actually was first voiced by none other than Vladimir Lenin. That was his phrase, in Russian, of course. And what it meant was there was a party line on everything about the world. If you deviated, you were in trouble. So these deviationists were thrown in jail. They were thrown in the gulag or shot in the head. We're not seeing that, but we're seeing people losing their jobs, people losing the ability to travel to other nations, borders being closed, national borders being closed to so-called thought deviationists. This is just amazing, and they're doing it under the guise, just like in the Soviet Union, under the guise of equality and all this. They use this lofty rhetoric to disguise nefarious purposes.
That's exactly what it sounds good. Always at first blush, it sounds good.
Always,
we want
always.
Justice. Always.
Yeah, you never go out with a totalitarian impulse and put it under the cloak of something horrendous. That doesn't attract anybody. But if you say we're looking for equality, we want economic equality, we want equal rights for gay, transgender, and other people, I mean, who can really disagree with that? And I think that all conservatives will accede that to anybody. In other words, we believe in equal rights. They are vouchsafed to us by God and then protected by our country's constitution. But this is just a veneer, and underneath of it all is force or the threat of force. We see people at the New York Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer, getting fired for stepping out of line, saying anything that's off the beaten trail in terms of the party line. This is, in effect, a sort of private, organized, and privately orchestrated Soviet-style censorship and propaganda organization and apparatus.
There's a couple of ways I want to go here, but one of them that was really alarming to me was when generals started coming against Trump because of what he was saying and speaking the truth. He was speaking the truth that we need law and order back in this country. These are Marxist organizations. They're investigating. And then we had generals who should be upholding basic values coming out against and being part of this narrative.
Yes. Even Mathis, has turned into a social justice warrior. He's woke, apparently. But this wokeness is all part, and it's part and parcel of the same impulses. Wokeness is about enforcing a certain creed, okay? And if you go against this creed, you're in trouble. Now, as to why these people like Mathis and others are actually on this side, it's really hard to say. I mean, I don't understand why he'd be virtue signaling like this, except that his loyalties might lie elsewhere. Now, I'm not accusing anyone of treason, but I think there's something strange going on here, and I think there's a global agenda and Trump has been opposed to it, and they know it, and he's been their enemy for that reason.
One of the other alarming things that's coming out of this, and this is for those of us that have studied Marxism for a long time, this is one of the key things they do, and that is get rid of the police, attack the police, defund the police, close down the police barracks. I mean, it's part of this chaos mentality.
They want to get rid of these authorities, basically, so they can run roughshod over the country and get rid of other people's properties. Get ready for the next call, which I guarantee, and I can predict this almost with certainty, they will be calling for the abdication of property by white people. Anybody living in the suburbs, you should give up your homes, you should give up your property, or you're a white supremacist. They're already saying in Minneapolis that if you call the police for somebody breaking into your garage, that you're a white supremacist. So this is about the abolition of property at base, you know, and that's, of course, one of the main principles of Marxism. Get rid of property. Of course, what they did in the Soviet Union, one of the first things Lenin did was order anybody with a weapon, anybody outside of the state who had a firearm, to be executed on the spot. So they want to get rid of arms at the same time as disarming the police or getting rid of them entirely. So this leads to nothing but them having the ability to overtake the whole system. I mean, we're talking about one part of the city at a time, and we see it already happening with Antifa.
We do, and we're seeing this just happen very methodically. You know, I know there's all the mainstream media folks out there saying, oh, this is not coordinated. These are loosely knit groups, and yet the same messaging appears in all these different communities. The same targets,
like
gun stores in Aria, are the same, too. Talk a little bit about that, and then also, if you could, too, talk a little bit about what does it mean to be beyond woke?
Sure. Let me answer the first question first. Okay, so not only does this resemble the Soviet situation, it very much resembles the Cultural Revolution in China, which took place between 1966 and 1976 under Mao, in which he effectively licensed his Red Guards to run around the country persecuting people, calling them out into these struggle sessions and self-criticism sessions, and then also destroying property. Anybody that owned a business, their property would be destroyed. Also destroying churches and temples and other religious artifacts. Also destroying national monuments. Erasing historical memory. All of these things are absolutely parallel with the Cultural Revolution. So to be beyond woke, is to understand that wokeness is a compulsion that's foisted on people through group pressure, and it's a totalitarian means of directing behavior. To be beyond woke is to be truly moral. And to be moral, you have to be allowed to make a moral choice as an individual. You can't be moral when you're being forced into it or compelled by force or the threat of force or the threat of loss of job and all this. So to be beyond woke is to be a truly moral individual, to be free.
And that is ultimately what I think a lot of Americans, at least in our area of the country, really believe in, is that we want to truly be free. We want to have true liberty. With everything that's happening right now in the country, everybody's asking, what can I do about it? How can I fight back? What should I be reading? Where should I go for not only answers, but maybe even daily briefings? And what can I do? Because a lot of people on the positive side are waking up right now and saying, okay, this is real. We got to do something about it. And that's actually a really encouraging thing, at least to me. So what can they do?
Well, I think that the rallies that you're talking about before I got on are very important. To assemble peacefully, to show that we're allowed to be in the streets, that we haven't ceded the streets and we haven't ceded our neighborhoods to these violent marauders, that we are willing to stand up and say, we belong here and we will not give this territory to you. It is not yours. It is ours as well. That's the first thing. And so I think, you know, it shouldn't be a danger to walk through an American city with a Trump hat that supports Trump, you know, President Trump. That should not be a threat. That should not occasion violence on the part of these people. So I think in large numbers, we have to do this as individuals grouped together for a common purpose, not as a mob like them, but as, you know, fully independent, autonomous people who are willing to get together in order to support our rights. We have to assert our rights, or else we're going to lose them.
Do you think, you know, normally there will be a dialectical step backwards. You'll see these folks that push and they push and they push and all of a sudden they step backward. And they step backward for a period of years. It doesn't feel that way this time. It feels like they're going to continue all the way through the election and who knows how long into the future and continue to do this to try to destroy America. What is your take on that and what can we expect?
Yeah, I think they're in it all the way this time, and they're not playing. So I believe, as I said, I think they're going to use another trigger event to accelerate and exacerbate the situation, and they're going to continue using events as, you know, firecrackers or, you know, fuses to incite more violence and so forth. So I do think we're in it for the long haul here. They are definitely going to continue to push, so we're going to have to assert our rights immediately and for a while. It's going to take time to put this genie back in the bottle because it's out there, and they're not going back on their own accord.
The groups that are involved in this, I want to kind of step back to a much larger view. The groups that are involved in this, everybody you know, looks at the names and some people try to tie it to Soros, but what actually is behind this? Are there foreign entities that are playing into this, in your opinion? What, because this is very clearly coordinated, it's very clearly well-funded. What really is behind all of this?
It's a really, I mean, I hate to speculate on those kind of issues because, you know, I'll be called a conspiracy theorist and so forth. But when you have pallets of bricks delivered to riots, when you have people running by handing bricks to different people on the corner, when you have such coordination through these groups, these networks of violent Antifa and other groups, even Black Lives Matter has become, I think, a terrorist organization, although they won't be decreed as such because they are speaking in the name of Black people. I think it is very organized, whether it's funded internationally or not, I don't know. They definitely have the support of international agents. Whether those agents are actually coordinating their efforts or just funding them and quietly watching what happens is another matter. Like, they might be delivering resources without directing what's happening, but they definitely like what's happening. There's no question about that. And China has a part in this, I think, as well.
I do think China does have a part in this. There's no question about it. So we have... we have social media now that is being used to help constrain us and put us into a virtual prison. And, you know, I mean, it's interesting that it's become a joke now that people get put into Facebook jail. You know, it's just, it really is a joke. How can we fight back in the digital sphere as well against this censorship?
That's a great question. Well, I think that Trump, for example, should take his platform elsewhere, move it over to a different platform, and watch Twitter fold under its own weight when they have nobody to attack and nobody to look to, nobody to censor. Take it elsewhere and make that, and actually just establish that platform as a better one. And then everybody will, a lot of people will follow him. Indeed, they'll follow behind. So I would advise, if the president could possibly hear me, get off of Twitter, move it somewhere else. And I don't know which one is best, and I'm not an advertising agent. But I think there's definitely other venues that would serve us better. Number two, I would say, you know, first of all, don't say racist or, you know, other bigoted things. You know, I'm not saying that you can't speak freely, but I think that we have to be faultless. We have to be perfect. We should try to be perfect. We have to be, as Christians and as Americans, a beacon and stellar individuals who will not succumb to the methods that are being used against us. We have to stand strong and tall and be the better people. I really think that's important. But we should be allowed to speculate. We should be allowed to think. We should be allowed to float theories without any kinds of recrimination or consequence, because otherwise these media platforms are belying and betraying the laws, actually, because under the Communication Decency Act of and Clause 230, they're not supposed to be acting like editors and publishers. They're supposed to be neutral platforms, but we know that's belied by the fact. They're absolutely biased, and they're propaganda organs. But we have to push back against that. There are reporting mechanisms to report the behavior of these social media outfits and to tell the government, the state, what they're up to, what kind of censorship you're encountering on your own. What kind of things are happening to you? Are you being delisted? Are you being deplatformed? Are you being what they call shadow banned, and so on and so forth? So report those things. Move to different platforms, but, you know, make sure they have some viability, because they have to be giving you a voice. If they're not giving you a voice, then they're useless. So, you know, it's a matter of really pushing against these platforms that are discriminatory and favoring other platforms that aren't.
Do you have any favorites that you would guide the listeners toward?
Well, I thought that Facebook was an egregious violator, but they're actually changing their tune to some degree. I mean, they are not. I say that Twitter is the leading edge of leftist authoritarianism in terms of social media. Behind them comes, you know, Facebook, of course, and they're a little bit better, but they're still discriminatory and they're still totally censoring all kinds of content. But YouTube is also another source, but again, they are censored. Of course, they're owned by Alphabet, the same company that owns Google. And, you know, they do all kinds of blacklisting and depersoning and so forth. But my favorite is actually Facebook, only because I can expiate at length. I don't like being cut into these short little, you know, 32-character tweets. So my favorite is Facebook at this point. And, you know, as soon as a viable option becomes possible, one that really will have a critical mass involved, then I would move to it.
Well, I think that's going to have to happen, whether we even want it to or not. It's going to have to happen. I think it would be. I agree with you. If President Trump did it, quite literally millions would follow. So it would have a profound immediate effect.
Right. I think that's the key. We have to have our leaders stepping forward, taking the lead, pushing back against the ones that are censoring and depersoning and banning us, and you know, have so much bias against us. Pushing back at the same time, holding our ground there. Don't throw away your account, but go to another one. And let's see how many people followed behind Trump if he left Twitter, or didn't leave Twitter, but actually instituted another platform for himself. And why not even have it built? I mean, I don't see the problem of getting a company to build one. Trump is a builder. He's able to make things happen. I mean, this is one of the things they hate about him. He's such an enterprising individual. He's nothing like a fascist. He's an independent individualist. That's what they really don't like. So if he did that, it would be a massive, massive paradigm shift.
It absolutely would be. If you could, in the last couple minutes that we have left, if people want to buy your books or go find out more about you, where can they go on the internet?
Yes, it's very simple. Everything is located at michaelrechtenwald.com. And sorry for the long last name, but it's RECTENWALD, michaelrechtenwald.com, all together, no caps. You'll find my books. You'll find my essays and presentations. You'll find my media appearances and also the media coverage, photos of my list of my fans and friends, and also sayings of mine and things like that.
MichaelRechtenwald.com. Yeah. Dr. Michael Rechtenwald, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. I'd love to have you on again. Very insightful, and appreciate everything you're doing. Keep up the fight.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate having you here. Thank you.
All right. Dr. Michael Rechtenwald, he's the author of Beyond Woke, Google Archipelago, Springtime for Snowflakes, and 19th Century British Secularism, which is a little more historical. But if you want to see in detail what's behind it, Dr. Rechtenwald was a professor of liberal studies and global liberal studies at New York University from 2008 to 2019. You want to talk about being in the heart of the beast, the belly of the beast. He was there. Check him out online. And I've got a couple more things I want to throw at you before we end the show here. I briefly mentioned this, but I want to go into this. Seattle police apparently have vacated the East Precinct in Seattle. Protesters have now set up an autonomous zone. Several media outlets reporting on this. TheBlaze.com is one. Yes, in America, Antifa is setting up an autonomous zone with barricades as borders. It's about six blocks, apparently. And they're calling it Free Capitol Hill, quote unquote. Seattle Police Department, according to Brandy Cruz, has no plan for what comes next with the precinct, no plans to move things back in, etc. And it appears they're setting up their own rules, and they're calling for volunteers to be armed guards of this new autonomous zone. Yes, this is happening, folks. In America, it's no longer poo-pooed as conspiracy theory. It is here. And so, in response, we as patriots declare Eastern Washington, Eastern Oregon, North Idaho, and Western Montana a region of freedom from this Marxist onslaught. And I got to tell you, folks, we need to be defending this region of freedom with lawsuits, with voting, with spiritual warfare. And like some of the guys in Coeur d'Alene did, perfectly peaceful, standing in front of their businesses or their friends' businesses and protecting against these people that want to kill, steal, and destroy. Yes, folks, it's happening in America. It's now our job to stand up and reclaim liberty. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you and keep up the fight.